Romans chapter number 8. Book of Romans chapter number 8. We're going to start looking in verse number 28. Deal with a few verses there today. But if you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in your Bible. Romans 8, verse 28. Bible said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Thank you for standing this morning. This verse has been used by many Christians, by many saints of God when trouble comes. I'm glad, as some of those Puritans referred, that this verse is as a pillow on a stormy night. For we know that all things work together for good. And I won't preach on this simple thought today on it will all work out. It will all work out. I wonder if you ever been disappointed in life. Wonder if you ever found out by maybe a phone call or maybe a visit or maybe something come in your life in a day and an hour that you never expected. We are sure, though, that in this life, if you're a child of God, suffering will come. You will suffer. Lord Jesus suffered, and so He said, think it not strange concerning you. These manifold temptations would come. Lots of times they bring suffering. But I'm glad in verse 24, some ways to bear suffering. He said, you can take it patiently. Oh my, in verse 25, He said, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'm glad we can have patience in suffering. Don't know about you, but me and patience don't get along very good. I don't have a lot of patience. There was a young lady this morning, I come out of the light, and it done turned sort of amber, yellow. She is on a cell phone. She turned right in front of me, and like, you know, they made the highway just for her. And then she went a little bit, and she turned off the road, still talking on that cell phone. I found a lot of times things will try your patience. But aren't you glad when things come, the Bible says that by patience you can endure it. And not only do we take the suffering, things come patiently, we ought to take it prayerfully. The Bible said in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible said, and He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is not an it. It's not an influence. It's a divine person, the third person of the wonderful Godhead. It's not an it. It is He. One time, one of the slogans of the church, it said, you ought to catch it. Honey, it's not a cold. It's not the flu. Holy Ghost, you don't catch. It's given to you. And so I'm glad when suffering comes, we can take it patiently. We can take it prayerfully. But in verse 28, always remember that we ought to take it purposefully. For He said, we are the called according to His purpose. God makes no mistakes in our lives in this day and this hour. Now, it will all work out. I want to share three things with you this morning. First of all, I want to deal with the words of all things. Then I want to deal briefly with the work of all things. Then I want to close with the worth of all things. Now, first of all, in verse 28, notice this, the expression of it. The expression of it. The Bible said, and. He's saying something's going to carry on now. And then there is an experience of it. Look at that word. And we know. I was reading this week of one of the saints of God that had died and went on before us. And this old saintly, godly grandmother, she had an old Bible that was wore out, and you could tell that the pages was torn and the cover was tattered. And beside a lot of verses, the little grandchild noticed she had T.P. written beside a verse. And she began to read her grandmother's Bible. She noticed some of them old pages that was really wore down. She got to saying, "Now, Grandma, I notice in reading this, there's a T.P. written beside the phrase." And she said, "Grandma, what does that mean?" She said, "Oh, that means it's tried and proven." Can I tell you this morning, there's some things in the Word of God that are tried and proven. And He said that we know, but honey, you'll never know till you walk through some situations that the God of this Bible will prove dear and precious to you. And it'll not be something you talk about. It'll be something that you know about. Thank God we can know this morning by the great comfort of the Holy Ghost. He said, and we know. Some of you will never know till you go through it. But I can tell you this, as a child of God, some of you are going to learn about it. Because you're going to go through it. I said last week, some of you think your children never mess up. Some of you think your children never do wrong. But I want to give you this commitment. I want to be here for you when they do. And then I don't say that arrogantly. I'm not going to say I'm going to be there if they do. I'm just going to say I'm going to be here for you when they do. And I won't go a little further. And if I ain't here for you, I know somebody else had to be here for you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and He got on Calvary's cross and died for the likes of me and you. Nobody's perfect, but thank God when storms come, we can know something. I know some things that'll work this morning. Some boys say, I want to know how you build a church. I don't know how they'd build theirs, but I know how God's built this one. God's built this one by preaching and praising and praying and giving and loving. That's the only way I know to do. I'm like David with his armor. I can't put on the new things of the day. The drama teams that they flock into and they're trying to court the world. Honey, the world is not to be courted by the church. The church is the called out one, separated, living godly and holy, a testimony in a dark and dying world. We're to be a light to a dark world. We're not to blend in with the world. We're to be a light to the world. Now to look at us and see that it's something different. And honey, when storms come and we crumble and we walk off the scene, what kind of light is that? Stay with the stuff. Stay faithful. Do what God told you to do. And at the end of life's way, you'll know about something. Now, I don't want to ride with an airplane pilot. Just got out of school. I know somewhere they got to learn. But I prefer they go learn in an empty airplane. Amen. I mean, I don't want to know nothing about no pilot that he got out of school, and it don't interest me what kind of education they got, what kind of pedigrees on them. I like them boys got them straps and them stars on their shoulders and on the hat. It means they got some few miles behind them. Let me tell you something this morning, friend. This old country preacher, he may not be the most polished in the world. And his grammar may not be the best. And his education may not be the highest. But honey, I've gone too far to turn back now. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that'll see us through in your situation this morning, friend. I'm telling you, thank God that I can know about some things this morning. I know God will see about it when your youngins come home. I know God will see about it when your wife's about ready to walk out. I know a God that can when your months done run out of money this morning. I know about a God that can. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's some things too hard for Baptists. They don't like running and shouting no more and crying no more. But honey, ain't nothing too hard for our Lord. You say, I don't like that running, crying, shouting. Honey, you just get some glue in your britches. It'll catch on to you after a while. Amen. This ain't Romper Room. Amen. This ain't the Bozo Show. This is the house of God. We got preaching and singing and praising God. What the church house ought to be this morning. Thank God we can know somebody. I'm glad I've looked around at some of you and you can tell me, preacher, I know it'll work. I remember Brother Gerald gave me some good advice one time. This person was bothering me. I don't guess y'all never been bothered by nobody. And he gave me some advice about, well preacher, why are they bothering you? I couldn't really answer. I was about ready to take care of something my own self, but I found out if I just pray and ask God to see about it, then God could and God would. Now I will tell you this morning, now I know that God can in that situation and God can in your situation. Don't give up on what's come your way. Just stay with the God of the Bible. Do what the Bible says and one day you'll know how and know why for the glory of God. Oh my, if things didn't come, we never would know about nothing, would we? Amen. Well, we see the words of all things, expression of it. Then the experience of it, I know. He said, we know. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you next year this time, you're going to know some things that you don't know this morning. Amen. The experience of it. And then the extent of it. This is what's hard for us to believe. And we know that all things. Now, there's an extent of it. I don't know about you, but all covers everything. And I mean, he's telling me this morning that all things that come my way are for my good. I don't understand that sometimes. I don't understand. It's sort of like a quilt. Have you ever seen the bottom of a quilt that an older lady made? That thing looks like a mess on the backside. But if you turn it over to the right side, there's a finished product there. And I don't understand why things happen. But I know that all things come to your benefit and my benefit according to the good grace of God. You know something? There's some things that life has given you and life's given me that I would not have prescribed. Sort of like a pharmacist. It's amazing to me how a pharmacist can handle deadly things and give you something to cure you. Did you know in their mixing, they can get something very deadly. But yet they take and they put something back with it to sort of balance it out. And if you'll take it, it'll cure what ails you. Isn't that amazing how God can send something in your life and in my life and that it would, with just things by itself, it would kill us. But aren't you glad He'll put something else with it and help us? For we know that all things, the extent of it, all things. And then watch this. This is where people take this out of context. There's an exhortation of it. That we know that all things work together for good to them that what? That love God. Now I want to say something right here real boldly. If you don't love God, they ain't come to help you. They probably come to discipline you and punish you. But them that love God. Boy, ain't it something how them. You ever wondered how those that love God the most suffer the most? God said, I think so much of you, if you love me, I'm going to send you just what you need to work it out for your good. You know how come folks don't never mount to nothing that don't love God, ain't nothing in their life working out for good. But oh my, this morning, friend, if you love the Lord Jesus, He said there is an exhortation of it. He said, them that love God. And then I like this. He said the excellence of it, that it works together. Isn't it amazing how God will allow this to happen and this to happen and bring it together for you? Because if it without this or without that, it never would have met in the middle. But God knows what He's doing. Turn around and tell somebody this morning, God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Have you ever noticed how things happen and we wonder, God, have you forgot about me? God, what's going on? Now, I want to share this. Here's maybe the meat of the message coming up I want to share with you. I'll be brief this morning, but I want to talk about it will all work out. We've seen the words of all things, but now there's a work of all things. He said, the all things work together. What's the work of all things? What does God use to work things out in your life? I'm going to share with you three things this morning God's used to work something in my life. I want to say this. God will use letdowns. Have you ever been let down? I mean, really, have you ever got a hold of something that just wasn't what you thought it was? Letdowns. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, we used some of these scriptures the other morning, but I feel in my heart to use them again. Paul now, he's found out that God uses letdowns. He said in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 24, he said, the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He said, three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. He said, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, and perils by mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, perils in the city, in the wilderness, and in the sea, and among false brethren. He said, I was more accustomed to perils than I was pampering. He said, in weariness and painfulness, watchings often. He said, in hunger, thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now verse 33. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Now, Paul was let down. And I'm going to tell you, I've noticed in our life when we're let down, God is working some things out. You'll note this. When he got let down, then he got caught up. Look what he said. He said in chapter 12 and verse number 2, he said, such a one caught up to the third heaven. You see, you can never be caught up till you're let down. Has a mentor ever let you down? Somebody you had your eyes on and they seemed to come short of the mark and they failed you. Maybe a ministry's let you down. You thought, well, if I could just get into that church and go to that church, it'd be... And let me ask you, has a marriage ever let you down? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Did you all go home? I mean, has your marriage ever let you down? You thought, well, if I could just get her, that'll seal the deal. Now you got her and don't know what in the world to do with her. You thought if I could just get him, oh, all my troubles will be over. God uses letdown. You see, we never know who God is until we're let down. He said, oh, but God caught me up. I'm going to tell you what I've noticed who will pick me up every time I'm let down. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God uses letdown. You know what? God loves to let the air out of things so you realize you will not lose your focus on Him. There's many times, boy, in a job, I thought if I could just get there, oh, how it let me down. I remember one time I had a midlife crisis. I know none of y'all never had none of them. But I started building me a car. I said, boy, if I can just have that old-timey car, surely it'll do something. You know what? It brought me a lot of heartache. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God uses letdowns. Boy, he'll let you down. A lot of times you think, well, I'm propped up on my finances. But boy, God will let the air out of you. Oh, my. You know something? We're better people because of letdowns this morning. I don't know about you. Have you ever been let down in your children? I mean, we got to realize everything here is just temporal. God's eternal. God never, ever does anything wrong to let us down. God uses let down. How many times have I been let down? If I could just get a hold of this, then it let me down. If I can just get a hold of this, then that let me down. But you know something? There's nothing like Him. Well, ago we sang in Victory in Jesus, I felt this church raise up another level. Some of you was wanting to shout. I don't know why you didn't just go on and shout. It'd do you good just going. It'd do you good just raise your hand right here, and maybe next Sunday you'll get it here, and next Sunday maybe you'll be doing this. My goodness, friend, we got a lot to thank God for. I'm telling you, He lets the air out of everything so He'll shine the brightest. God uses letdowns. And you know something? God uses lowdowns. He used Alexander the coppersmith. Brother Tim read it this morning. Now, I want you to notice in the story, turn with us over there to 2 Timothy. And look, if you would, in chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4. And let's start reading in verse number 6. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. Time my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. I don't know this, but about pastoring people. And you'll get acquainted with people. Some people that report to you and work for you. Some people you're acquainted with. I pulled this out of an old Puritan's book, and I wrote it in the leaf of the margin of my Bible. He's referring to a man pastoring people. It makes a lot of sense to me, Brother Mike. It's what he said. Let no minister henceforward think that because he has gained an influence over men's minds, that he must have gained hold on their hearts. What are you saying? I'm saying, buddy, you will find some lowdowns in life that said they was your friends, and they turned their back on you and walked out on your situation. Matter of fact, most people I found out through life just want what they can get out of you. And when all the toys is gone, and all the Budweiser's gone, and all the weeds gone, they go to hunting them other buddies. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Boy, and it's something how God uses lowdowns. People that are to stab your heart. You know something? Did you know the reason people are scammed? Because they've got a lot of trust in somebody. You talk about that man just scammed, what, $50 billion out of New York? Any of y'all see that special out there at Palm Beach the other night on NBC? It was amazing how them people, now they're pawning anything they can get just to pay the bill. They didn't lose a couple of thousand. They lost millions. Give it to a man that scammed them. I'd say, God uses lowdowns, wouldn't you? What are you talking about? I doubt if any of them was in church for all their money got gone, but some of them may have walked in an old-time Baptist church this morning if it was one in the area. Amen. I doubt if it's many out there. I doubt if it's many running around slanging and shouting and hollering this morning out there. But if it is, I imagine God's used some let. I wonder if God ever used some lowdowns on you. He said, oh me, Demas hath forsaken me. You'll find over in the book of Philemon, he was a fellow laborer. But he said, loving this old present world. Friend, let me tell you something. This world a glitter, but everything that glitters is not gold. Some of you young couples, you hit and miss church, hit and miss, hit and miss. You're determined in your heart, I'm going for God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be faithful. And whether God gives me this or gives me that, I'm going to love Him in spite of anybody this morning. Low down. Boy, God will use them low downs, won't He? He'll knock air out of you with low downs. Amen. You know something? I had 200 employees one time, and I think I might have heard from two now in 2 years. But boy, they was a-doing this when I was a-running things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You look nice today, preacher. We love to hear your preaching. Some of them had preacher religion. They ain't here no more. Shake that new head this morning. Some low downs to help you this morning. Some people you thought you could trust. Some people you thought to go the last mile with you. I'm glad I found out there's one that'll never leave you nor forsake you this morning, friend. Thank God I found out before the fire got heated up. Hebrew boys found out. Amen. A lot of times it takes a fire to get heated up to see. Oh my. Sometimes it takes a good fire for you to see who will walk in there with you. Boy, when everything's going good and you're taking them out to eat. And you're doing this and you're doing that. I like that crowd that's loved you for who you are. I like that crowd that's loved you for what you are and who you are. Thank God for not what you can give them. They just old-timey love you by the grace of God. I like that old-time preaching. This old snooty crowd walking around this fairyland world. Honey, nothing here's forever.
Amen.
There's an eternity. There's an eternal world that's waiting on us this morning. And everything here that glitters is not gold. Oh, I'm telling you, God will use lowdown. Y'all ever heard that? That lowdown, sorry, rascal. Can I get a witness anywhere? Is that just, have I only heard that myself? That lowdown, sorry, rascal. Well, I declare, I'd have never thought that. That lowdown rascal. Is that only Bowden vernacular, low-down rascal? Rambling too. Brother Mike, what about Aniston? Is that Aniston vernacular too? Low-down. Brother Jerry, is that Woodland, Alabama too? Low-down. Where you live?
Newell.
Newell. And works at Newell too. What settlement you in, Brother Randall?
Arbacucci.
Lord, it's got to be there. Boy, God uses lowdowns, don't He? I wonder if anybody ever told you, said, I'll be there and pick you up. They never did show up. Now, when the chip's down, I'll be there. But they wasn't there. Can I tell you this morning, you never would know the God of this Bible in that way unless you'd met some lowdowns. He uses letdowns, lowdowns. I noticed this over there in Acts chapter number 16. He uses some lockdowns. He got thrown in prison. And you know something? He got thrown in prison for doing right. Isn't that amazing? One of the best preachers in America landed in a jail cell. In a Philippian jail, though Philippian jailer, God in His providence and God in His goodness and grace allowed a man of God to be locked up so somebody else could get out. I wonder how many times God has used your lockdown. I wonder, has your shout ever been locked down? I mean, sometimes you just ain't got a shout to shout. I wonder, has your preaching ever been locked down? I wonder, has your money ever been locked down? I wonder, has your joy ever been locked down? But all of a sudden, in your dark midnight hour, the Holy Ghost give you a song. And you begin to sing. And people around you got the noticing that even in your lockdown situation, your God shined the brightest. They begin to want to know something about this Lord that you can praise in your jail cell. Oh my, the Bible said that He sprang in with a light. And He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I'm glad He knew what to say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm glad it's enough of Him to go around today. Oh, friend, what are you saying? God uses lockdown. Wonder how many people in America has been saved because they were in a lockdown situation. I walked into a a jail cell in Montgomery last year and preached. I'm talking about wall-to-wall inmates, some 13, 14 men come down and give their life to the Lord Jesus. I mean, weeping, old-time revival broke. You know something? God used that lockdown situation in their life. Isn't it amazing how God can take one of your awful situations and bless you in it? Lockdown. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, Brother Ken, how in the world could a lockdown situation work for my good? Well, it set some things free when he got locked down. His praying picked up. His singing picked up. You know, some we're known for a worshiping church. Thank the Lord for that. But friend, there would be no worship here if it wasn't for letdowns, lowdowns, or lockdowns. You come in, buddy, and you're not hurting and you're not suffering, you're not going to worship. You'll say, hey, man, everything's good and you're just glad to be here. Buddy, you let a lockdown come down where you live. You'll be around the steps of this old altar. You let some letdowns come in your life, you'll be around this altar. You let some lowdowns walk in through your house sometime, you'll be around this altar. And God working everything out for your good. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how big God is? How He can make no mistake. Well, preacher, I don't understand. I'll be honest with you, I don't either. But I just know that all things work together for good to love. You know, I would say this. Probably beside losing a mate. I'm talking about a spouse that is half of you. I would say probably losing a child would be the most next devastating thing. And I want to say something right here this morning while I'm just sort of coasting. Be careful what you say about folks in some bad situation, because you don't know what you do till you get there. You don't have a clue what you do till you get over there where they live. So I'd be careful what I said with this. God give us two of these, one of these. We ought to be using that. I'm telling you this morning, friend, I cannot believe how God could use them situations, but I know He does. And we've got to trust Him no matter what comes in our life. Now, I close with this. Not only do you find out the words of all things and the work of all things, but now I want to talk about, lastly, the worth of all things. Somebody said, behind a frowning providence, God hides a smiling face. Behind a frowning providence, God hides a smiling face. You know something, as a man told me years ago, Miss Jennifer, you'd come on the instrument, you and Miss Faye, whatever we're going to do this morning. He said, Ken, let me tell you something. He said, you're going to suffer for this Jesus that you're standing for. You're going to suffer. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, Christian. You that love the Lord Jesus, you're going to suffer. And young couples, you listen to this pastor this morning. You better listen to me. You better clean your ears out. You better listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. When hard times come, it's no time to get out yonder. It's time to be dedicated at God's house. You say, well, preacher, everything's good. Hold on. Put it in the bank. Trust me with this. It's coming to where you live. And when it comes, you're going to need these brothers and sisters. You're going to need this church. You're going to need a preacher. You're going to need a Jesus that will stand with you when everybody else has walked off the block. Father alone. You know, something in the middle of those things, Brother Gerald, I couldn't see, I couldn't understand. But now I've got on the other side of it, I can say, I know all about it. And I know there's some things, Brother Tim, coming my way that I'll not understand right then. Father on. We'll know all about it. I'm convinced when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed what God done for us that we never do nothing about in our darkest hour. You know, I said it's a worth of all things. What is it? These four things I'm done. First of all, they break us. You ever notice only time something pours out of something is when it's broke? Some of you, you've poured your life out over this preacher and helped me because situations has broke you. You want to help somebody get broke, and there'll be things go to oozing out of you to help other people. It breaks us. And then it brings us. Brings us to His feet every time. Brings us. And then it blesses us. That's amazing to me. He said, work it out for your good, Ken. For your good. I know what you need. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I say, Lord, this is what I need. Send it now. Let it happen. And God, this is what I need. This... He said, He shall supply all your needs, not all your greeds, according to His riches and glory. Breaks us, it brings us, it blesses us, and it betters us every time. Some of you better Christians because hard times, the fire's come. It's purified you, tried you, showed you who your God is. And you know something? You'll be standing there for some of these young ones come along and say, how'd you make it through that? When your child went astray, what'd you do? When your marriage went bad, what'd you do? When you got hooked on them things, what did you do? You don't just kick people to the curb. You love them. Point them to Calvary. To somebody that loves them. What you need this morning?